1, 2, 3, 4.
Song Salad
with Shannon and Scott.
Welcome to Song Salad with Shannon and Scott.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together,
we're
Jangabells.
I was going to say climbing down your chimney.
Well, I said jangle bells.
Jangle bells.
So.
Jingle beels. Sounds like someone is saying beels.
Beels?
Jangle?
Jangle? Jangle beels. Jingle beels.
It's been a long time since I've seen that video.
We should tweet that link.
We should.
It's a very good.
Another holiday gift for you is a fun Seth Rudetsky, Jack Plotnick video.
Called Jangle Beels.
I think. We'll find it.
Yeah, we'll find it. What'd you get for Christmas, Scott?
A wedding.
Yeah.
Back in November.
Yeah.
Is what I got for Christmas.
Yeah, pretty much.
What'd you get?
I got saving for a wedding for next year.
Hey. Hashtag adulting.
Yeah. But we got ourselves and our significant others.
True.
A fun vacation.
We did.
That we're going on in February.
To France.
not to France.
Oh, not France?
Not France.
Oh.
Despite what Scott thought when he booked the ticket, we are not going to France.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you didn't know that Martinique was an island in the Caribbean, wouldn't you think it was a town in France?
A town in France.
Martinique. Sounds like a like coastal French village.
We literally booked the tickets and then Scott was like, yeah, I hope it's not hurricane season. It would suck to go all the way to France.
No, I didn't say anything about hurricane season in France. That's why I was confused. I was like, I don't think they have hurricane season in France, Shannon. And that's when you were like, it's not France.
It's not France.
Yeah.
But
because I thought you were crazy for talking about hurricane season in France.
Okay. Okay. Well, that makes more sense then. But yeah, so that we'll be going on a nice vacation for ourselves.
Yeah. February. Can't wait.
Yeah.
What's a song salad?
A song salad is a short song that we write about a random topic that we get from Wikipedia in a random music... Restart me.
Okay. I'm going to have to manually power off Shannon here.
Boop, boop. In a random musical style
that
we get from moodfuse.com.
It's like a nice little stocking stuffer of a song.
Yeah. Or is that a Utahn?
Well, they're all like similar length.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of true.
At this point.
And speaking of Utahns.
Yes.
We do have a Utahn.
Hey.
Hey. We actually have Tutons.
Tutons today.
But our first one that we'll do is a shorter one. And it comes from Megan H., who gave us a donation for a Christmas present for her little brother.
Thanks, Megan.
Who does not listen to our podcast.
Well, he will to hear this present.
That's true. But she said he'd probably think it's hilarious even though he doesn't actually listen.
Great.
So First of all, I approve of that. I think that sounds great. And a couple things that she said about her brother. His name is Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
And he likes pop and classic rock, but she also said something Christmassy might be okay too.
Christmas pop rock.
So yeah, so I think a Christmas pop song. Their sibling relationship is based on their cats and sending memes to each other.
Great.
He is involved in DECA in high school, and he wants to go into sports marketing, and he plays baseball.
Cool. So you got some ideas for lyrics about Andrew?
I do.
Great. Enjoy your Utahn, Andrew, from your sister, Megan.
Memes and cats and 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 memes and cats.
Oh, Andrew is a dude with a good attitude. He's the best in DECA, I heard. And on the field, he plays baseball with zeal as a future sports marketer. So from Megan to you, Christmas, that's true, and a happy, healthy new year. Hug your cats and send a meme and spread some Christmas cheer. Cats!
Merry Christmas, Andrew.
Yes, and thank you to Megan H. for buying that song for your brother. We still have 5 days left in our Give Forward campaign. You can go to our website at songsaladpodcast.com and get your own Utahn. We still have a couple more in the hoppa that will be
coming down the pike.
Yes. Whatever metaphor you prefer, they're coming.
Including one later this episode. But before that, let's get down to brass tacks.
Maybe our Wikipedia article would be brass tacks.
Maybe. But let's get our genre first.
Yes.
And spin the salad spinner, which this week sounds like continuing his domination of the salad spinner. We have Todd at Todd the Linguist, who suggested this week
Sylvester Stallone ordering at Chipotle.
Okay. How's your Sylvester Stallone impression?
Never tried it before, so
neither
we're going to get
neither
live on air.
All right.
Just winging it, winging my Sylvester Stallone impersonation.
You want me to go first? You want to go first?
I'll go first.
All right.
I'll get it over with.
Go for it.
Get the humiliation over with. All right, here we go.
I know guac is a dollar.
That was a little like, I don't know, Eeyore-esque.
Maybe. Wait, because he's like, Adrian, I know guac is a dollar.
That's a little better.
I know guac is a dollar.
Is that good?
Yeah, that's great.
Great. It had to happen sometime.
Did it? This week on Song Salad. Renaissance music.
Perfect for...
Perfect for Christmas.
Perfect for ushering in the new... ushering in 2017. A renaissance, if you will.
So, Renaissance music. Vocal instrumental music written and performed in Europe during the Renaissance era, which was 1400 to 1600.
So it's a 200-year period over an entire continent.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of stuff. So we'll have to really...
I think it's like the time of Shakespeare, the time of no plumbing.
Yeah, Columbus. We'll have to, like, really pick a lane here. Let's see what catches our interest.
Sure.
Okay.
So basically, it's smushed between medieval music, which ended around 1400, and Baroque music, which started at 1600. And Baroque music is like Handel and Haydn and like very, you know, harpsichordy, or think of like Handel's Messiah.
Yeah. So like very, isn't Baroque also marked by like a lot of very ornate, it's like very flourishy
ornamentation, as we call it in the music, like a lot of trills and turns. But Renaissance music,
so the rise in humanistic thought during the Renaissance has an influence. I think it seems like mostly by bringing music also out into the secular sphere instead of just purely religious music.
So this is interesting. The printing press was invented in 1440, and it made it cheap and easy to distribute music and music theory text on a wide scale. So in the medieval era, there was no standardization in Europe of musical style. And then the Renaissance era brought about people connecting with each other on how this music should be made. So some famous names in Renaissance music are Palestrina. You've probably heard vocal music from Palestrina, a lot of vocal counterpoint and very like pure tone. Lassus, Thomas Tallis, and William Byrd, all like music you would hear traditionally in a church at this point.
And they also said that churches and cathedrals also had musical education programs to train large numbers of singers and instrumentalists and composers. So you can imagine that music was becoming something that was reaching the masses more and that they also were able to do for the first time rather than just going and seeing someone else do it.
Right.
Which corresponded with the rise in the bourgeoisie class.
Yeah. This was also the start of more secular music coming about and not just being folk music, actually notated, like composed secular music using poems and other texts and forms like the chanson or madrigal that spread around Europe.
What does it mean when they say being able to spread texts around Europe coincided with the unification of polyphonic practice into a fluid style? What does that mean?
That means the way in which the harmonies and voice leadings of different vocal parts were created and designed, basically. You know, Palestrina in particular sort of set the standard and set the rules for like how vocal lines should move with and against each other to create harmonies that were, you know, traditionally accepted as like pleasing to the ear.
Gotcha.
There were a lot of very specific rules in Renaissance counterpoint of like, you know, if the soprano is moving down here, the alto can't move down there too, or else it'll sound bad. So the alto has to move up there, you know, and that was all standardized through these guys.
Interesting.
As far as non-vocal music, the instruments that were around were precursors to the violin, guitar, lute, and keyboard instruments, sort of like early harpsichords. And also woodwinds and brass, like early bassoons and trombones, appeared during this time.
So I wonder if we could actually find keyboard patches for something like a sack butt or whatever.
I mean, we'll get as close as we can. Might just like use a bassoon and make it sound old somehow.
Yeah, gonna put some Pinterest level wear and tear on the bassoon.
I'm gonna put
sound.
A Nashville filter on the on the bassoon.
Cool.
So that's a very brief overview of Renaissance music. And I think depending on what our topic is, we'll decide whether we want to do like solo voice or make it sound like a madrigal or use an instrumental ensemble or what.
Explain what a madrigal is.
So madrigals are always secular.
Gotcha.
Text. They're usually unaccompanied, so solo vocal.
Oh.
Or not solo vocal, but, choral pieces. Sure. Without instrumental accompaniment.
They originated in Italy during the 1520s.
In a madrigal, a composer attempted to express the emotion contained in each line and sometimes individual words of a celebrated poem.
So maybe we won't use a celebrated poem,
so
but maybe we'll use
one of
my poems.
There's a lot of, famous, famous like Christmas madrigals, like the boar's head.
I don't know that one.
The boar's head and hen bear we be decked with bays and rosemary.
Nope.
This is what the pronunciation back then would have been, not rosemary.
Hmm.
We sang that in college. So anyway, that's a madrigal in a nutshell.
Okay, so maybe a madrigal, maybe not.
Yeah. Why don't we get a topic and figure out what else to do with this?
I hope I get to write "Hey Nani Nani."
I think you can.
Yeah.
Yeah. No matter what.
All right, it's your Sylvester Stallone ordering Chipotle.
I almost forgot. Okay. What do you mean no carnitas today?
Sound like an ogre.
Yours sounded like an ogre too.
At least I tried.
What do you mean no carnitas today?
No. It's a little bit better. Yes, perfect. The water sprinkling festival is a traditional folk activity in Dai nationality. Dai nationality is one of the ethnic minorities of China. Most of them live in
Xishuangbanna.
Xishuangbanna. In southern Yunnan.
The nationality believe in Buddhism and religious activities are frequent. The water sprinkling festival is actually the new year of Dai nationality and also one of the most solemn traditional festivals of this nationality. Usually the festival takes place 10 days around the tomb sweeping day.
Whoa.
And lasts for 3 or 4 days, generally in the Gregorian calendar on April 13th to 15th, the 3 days.
On the first day, people row, put to rise, and then there's some annotation in Chinese that I don't know what it means, cultural and artistic performances. On the second day, people sprinkle water crazily. Okay, Wikipedia.
We need videos.
The young men and women get together to lost package?
And exchange
of goods.
On the third day?
Okay.
So day one, you row.
You row.
And you put to rise, whatever that means. Mm-hmm. And you do cultural and artistic performances.
Mm-hmm.
Day two, you sprinkle water crazily. And day three, men and women get together and exchange presents.
Lost packages?
Or,
so it's sort of like a combination of Christmas and New Year's.
Hey, pretty cool.
Yeah.
Let's see what else we can find out about this.
Yeah. I mean, that was the whole Wikipedia article that we just read you, but I'm absolutely sure that there's more information about Water Sprinkling Festival. Water Splashing Festival is another way that it's being written.
So it looks like there are water festivals in a lot of Asian countries and ethnic groups.
And they splash or pour water at one another as part of a cleansing ritual to welcome the new year.
Ah. It involves 3 days of celebrations that include sincere yet lighthearted religious rituals that invariably end in merrymaking, where everyone ends up getting splashed, sprayed, or doused with water.
So it's water, a water fight.
It's a water fight.
Oh, a dragon boat race is held. Okay, oh, so
that's, maybe that's the rowing.
The rowing.
Yeah. The completion of the bathing of the Buddha serves as a signal that encourages ordinary mortals to themselves engage in mutual water splashing.
With the same gusto with which Westerners engage in a good snowball free-for-all.
So you go to the streets with your pots, pans, bottles, or whatever, and you uninhibitedly splash, spray, and douse each other.
I think I've seen a video of this, now that they're talking about splashing each other and pouring each other.
Right.
Pouring water on each other.
Water Splashing Festival, China, full HD, YouTube. Oh, yeah. Look how merrymaking they are.
Aww. We just learned a lot.
Yeah. There's a great video that we can tweet out explaining the whole thing. And what's interesting is that we landed on Water Sprinkling Festival, which didn't have much information, but everywhere else on the internet calls it the Water Splashing Festival. And we found a lot more info under that name.
Yeah. It's actually a really cool tradition.
Mm-hmm.
And this particular ethnic group, the Dai, they use water, like even just the word for water, as an exclamation of joy.
Mm-hmm.
And the what we learned was the traditional way to sprinkle or splash water is by dipping a branch with leaves on it in a bowl of water and sort of like flinging it at people.
Flicking it.
And it's supposed to be the first well water drawn in the new year.
Yeah.
To like.
So it's all about, you know, good luck, good fortune, good harvest. And the province that they're in, the
Shishangbana,
the translation in the Dai dialect is 12,000 rice paddies, because there's a lot of rice paddies there.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like if Minnesota was literally just called the land of 1,000 lakes.
Right.
If we're like, oh, yeah, I'm flying into Minneapolis in the land of 1,000 lakes.
Right. Lando Lakes.
Lando Lakes.
American cheese. So.
Butter? Isn't it
they
butter?
They make everything.
They make cheese?
Oh, yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
Good cheese?
Yeah, good cheese.
What kind of cheese?
Well, like deli cheese.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Lando Lakes.
Learn something new every day.
Rice patties. So, yeah. We need to write a Renaissance song about the water sprinkling festival.
Yes. And I don't know, should it be a madrigal? Because it is technically religious.
Yeah, that's true.
But madrigals are secular.
Madrigals are secular.
I mean,
the
we're
religious
definitely
songs are more like if you look at like Palestrina's motets and things, like those are, or like the William Byrd, you know, they're setting psalms or they're setting portions of scripture.
Would a motet have a very particular structure?
Yes.
Maybe we should go for that.
Yeah, like a Palestrina style motet.
Yeah.
This is going to be fun.
About the water splashing festival.
All right.
So let's find an example first of the water, or of the water.
Of the water. We'll find a good Palestrina motet.
That's
example.
What I wanted to say.
Cool. So our example, Palestrina motet, is going to be Sicut Cervus. Yes. Sicut Cervus, which is Psalm 42. Translation is, like as the heart desireth the water brooks, so longeth my soul after thee, O God.
And it's heart like H-A-R-T, like the stag deer, not like your heart.
Oh, I never knew that was a thing.
Oh, really?
I've never heard of a heart as an animal before.
A heart is just a stag.
Stag. Stag party. Heart party. Here it is. So, thing that we have to keep in mind when we do this motet is that it's usually very, very short text, just like a sentence.
And it just repeats?
And, well, it doesn't even repeat. You just spend, like, 5 minutes on each word. Because you just go, like, if I were going to sing Shannon, it would be like, Shannon. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that all motets?
I mean, in the Renaissance, yes.
Okay.
There would be, like, sections of the motet that would be, like, different sentences or parts of Psalms.
Okay.
And it would be, like, I was just in London and we saw this concert at St. Paul's Cathedral, and they did a William Byrd motet, and it went on for, like, probably 6 or 7 minutes, and it was, like, a sentence.
Oh. Well, we're not going to do that.
Why not?
I don't want to write a 6 minute. Well, I don't think anybody wants to listen to a 6 minute sentence. But point taken, it should be one encapsulated idea.
Yes.
Okay.
And then I'll do 4 different voice parts that will sing the same text, like overlapping with itself on long notes.
Okay.
And the thing that gives it its distinctive sound is the harmony and the voice leading, like we were talking about, the very specific rules that Palestrina and the others laid out for certain chords only following other chords and certain notes only happening in the context of other notes to avoid things like parallel motion, where all of the voices move in the same direction at the same time, or to avoid things like open fifths, which sound empty and hollow.
So you know all these rules.
I mean, I know in general what they are. I mean, I'm probably not going to be following them exactly because I also don't feel like doing research into Renaissance counterpoint, even though I took a whole class on it in college. But, you know, I'm gonna follow it, you know, close enough to make it sound correct.
Similar. Yeah. Okay. So I need a single line or two.
Mm-hmm.
About the water splashing festival.
Yep.
And do the lines that they, like, do they repeat them or, like, draw them out because you're supposed to, like, meditate on them? Like, is that the idea that it's, like, a sort of, like, the repetition or rather the dwelling on that is because it's so important?
I'm not sure. I don't know if it was that or if it was just that back in 1450, you needed to kill time. Like, I don't know, make a psalm last as long as possible to, like, you know, cover the rituals of the mass, you know?
I'm going to look up more stuff about motets.
Cool.
Just to see if there's, like, I don't know, anything else I should keep in mind before.
Yeah.
I write my grand...
sentence.
Yes. My grand work. Yeah, cool.
Cool.
I have chosen my lyric.
Chosen.
And not
written.
No, I mean I did write it.
Okay.
But yeah. So here's the lyric that we're gonna go with, which is cleansing waters of the new year bring me prosperity. Which feels appropriately religious and holy, and you're invoking some higher power.
Mm-hmm.
And since that is the purpose of the water splashing festival, is to get rid of bad luck and bring prosperity and happiness.
Cool.
So since I also was reading that what distinguishes, in at least some circles, a motet from a madrigal is that motets are in Latin.
Yeah.
And madrigals were in whatever the vernacular languages. Which I thought was interesting.
That makes sense.
So, and this will be easy enough to do in Latin.
Right.
So I put it into Google Translate. And in Google Translate, it is Lavacra ani... Renuntiate mihi prospera, or as Google says it.
Mi prospera.
But I found a fun game.
Yeah.
Which is, in Google Translate, you have the English on one side and then whatever language you want on the other. And it's a fun game to hit the, like, swap translate.
Yeah.
And to see how it changes.
So this will translate what it says the Latin is now back into
English.
English.
So if I hit it once, and so here's the game.
Yeah. So we start with cleansing waters of the new year bring me prosperity.
So if I click it once,
it goes to washing of the year. Bring me success.
Okay. Great. All right. Like, I get it.
Yeah. Washing of the year.
So let's click it again.
Whoa. All of a sudden, in urine and bring them to me.
In urine and bring them to me. How in the world did that get flippy-flopped like that?
That's crazy.
And so the game that I've invented with this is, how many times do you have to click translate back and forth for it to get to the singularity of it will always translate back and forth to the same thing? And if I click once more, urine and bring them to me. There Seems we go. Yes, we have
that
reached.
That is the singularity. Yes. Urine and bring them
to me.
We have
reached stability with urine and bring them to me. So that was what, like four swaps? I think in four swaps we managed to get to like the good place. So that's a fun game.
I love that.
Yeah.
You know, there are YouTube videos of it's this one girl that sings like Disney songs that have been put through Google Translate like this. And there's a great one of Let It Go from Frozen.
Oh, I have seen that. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
I want to do another thing.
Okay, let's pick another.
Welcome to Song Salad.
Oh, that's perfect. Okay.
Let's try another language.
Yeah.
Let's go to, I don't know. What would be fun?
Bulgarian.
Sure.
So it's like, Dobre došli. Yeah, došli v
pisan salata.
All right.
Welcome to the song salad.
Welcome to the salad song. Oh, welcome to the salad song.
Welcome song of salad.
Welcome song of salad.
Is that it?
I think we got it.
Welcome song of salad.
Welcome song of salad is, I kind of like it as the idea of like, this is the perfect distillation of whatever thing you're trying to express is. So yeah, that was about four, I think.
Yeah.
Four.
And I'm sure it's different with every language.
Yeah,
because
definitely.
Of the way that, you know, each language is structured.
Mm-hmm. So that's a fun game. Go play that game. Yeah.
And let's call it Google Telephone. Translate Telephone.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, so cleansing waters of the new year.
Cleansing waters of the new year. Bring me prosperity.
Yeah.
Lavacra ani renunciate mihi prospera. All right, well, I'm going to write a motet.
Cool.
Here we go.
Let's do it.
I'm going to sing this.
Okay.
All four parts.
Okay.
Myself. And I'm going to use Logic's flex pitch feature.
Okay.
To bring my voice into the alto and soprano range.
Awesome.
So that I don't have to teach you a motet in Latin.
Thank you.
So get ready for
Demon Choir of Scots.
Renaissance Choir of Demon Scots.
Yes.
Demon Renaissance Choir Scot.
Are you doing the translate back and forth?
Yep. That was it. So, I have the song ready.
I can't wait.
And the Demon Choir has sung. But before you hear it, let's do another Utahn.
Yeah, we'll get our second Utahn, which was actually purchased by my fiance on behalf of our friend Brian,
who moved. Hey, Bri.
Hi, Brian, who moved away.
Sad.
Yeah, it was very sad. And yeah. We all miss him very much.
New York is a little less stout without him.
Yeah. Josh really wanted to express how much he misses you and that he wishes you well. So we wrote an R&B song for you, Brian. And, I think it encapsulates you pretty well.
I haven't seen the lyrics yet, so I'm excited.
Yeah. So let's do it.
R&B song for Brian. Do you have a title for it?
I don't want to say the title because it'll give away the central conceit of the song.
Great.
So I'll say it after.
Cool. Here's your Utahn to Brian from Josh.
Took that midnight train to Georgia, except it was really just a plane. Looking for his future, a path to make his name. Yeah, he's a seeker, loving son of a, who could always make us laugh. Here are all the things we'll miss, at least till he comes back. One, the way he joked about farts. Two, the way he'd talk about farts. Three, when he sang Beyonce. probably guess something about farts.
Five.
But really, it's his generous spirit. So now when we feel down, we won't pour one out for you. We'll just remember how you made our fart joke dreams come true.
So what was the title?
The title was Something About Farts.
Something About Farts.
Which really says all you need to know about our dear friend Brian.
Something About Brian.
Brian, we miss you. Yes. And if you would like a Utahn, there's still 5 days left to get a Utahn. Go to songsaladpodcast.com, click on our Give Forward fundraising link. And give any amount of money, and we will write you a corresponding song worth that amount.
Totes. And now, some Renaissance music. Do we have a title for our Renaissance song?
Well, so, because the lyrics were so limited, it's kind of hard to pick something, but I didn't get to use Hey Nani Nani.
Oh, that's true.
So we could call the song Hey Nani Nani, but I'll try to translate it into Latin.
I have an idea.
Okay, what's your idea?
Should we use the title is the translation to the vernacular, but gone through all of the steps?
The, like, most distilled version.
So the title of our song would be Urine and Bring Them to Me.
That works for me.
Or, even better, Hey Nani Nani, Urine and bring them to me. So... Shannon just put Hey Nani Nani into Google Translate to try to translate it into Latin.
And it came up as Heus Nani Nani. So it has to be Heus Nani Nani, right?
Heus Nani Nani, Urine and Bring Them to Me.
Yes, there we go.
All right. A Renaissance motet about the water sprinkling festival.
By Shannon and Scott.
Lava
song.
I liked it.
I liked it too.
You know, our friend Alexa told me that she thinks we're too self-deprecating and that we should be prouder of
our
songs.
More proud of our songs.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm proud of it.
Yes.
I liked it.
I liked it, and I feel I have positive feelings about myself and the song.
I think going into 2017, we all need to just splash water on each other for good fortune and prosperity.
I thought you were going to say, we all need to splash water on each other so we'll just all drown and not have to deal with it.
Or that.
But a happy new year.
Happy new year,
everyone.
This
is our last episode before, so the next episode will come out after it's already technically New Year's.
True.
It'll come out on January 2nd.
Yeah.
So this is post-Christmas, pre-New Year wishes.
Yes.
To everybody.
It's kind of crazy. This is our last episode of 2016, which was the inaugural year of Song Salad.
It was.
We've done 44 episodes in a year. That's not bad.
No, it really isn't
it's
bad.
Not bad.
And yeah. We started in like mid or late January.
Right,
I think.
Exactly.
So we missed a couple weeks. And
right.
Yeah. So on to 2017, which will be a full year of salads.
You know what? That's our resolution going into 2017 is to listen to more salad.
Listen to more salad.
But keep eating junk.
And our next episode will be a very special New Year's episode.
Yes. Featuring special guests. And that's all we'll say.
Yes.
Until then.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together,
we're...
Good old acquaintance be Aww. Forgot. And never brought to mind. Should old acquaintance be forgot in days of auld lang syne.
I never knew that lyric. I think that's what it is. In Days of Auld Lang Syne?
I'm pretty sure.
What does Auld Lang Syne really mean?
I don't know. Let's look it up on Google Translate.
One,
or just
two,
Google.
Three,
is it
four.
German?
I don't know. We're going to find out.
How do you spell Syne?
No.
That's not it.
I think you should just Google it.
Google it?
Just Google it.
Times long past.
Days of times long past. Auld Lang Syne.
Oh, it's a Scots word, and it's like Old English.
Hmm.
I can't believe I never knew that.
Now we know.
Yeah. Auld Lang Syne.
Auld Lang Syne.